Hiranyagarbhavah Tejasvinavatitamastumabhidvishavahai Om Shanti Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. Okay. Got it. Johnny Tai. Okay. We have some reading. No reading.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Haribol,
Charchan, so
so
can you please?
again. Okay. So Ajayana 1, Adhikarana 3. So we just finished that Adhikarana, and then there's the vritti. In the next few Anuchedas, sorry, we just finished the Anucheda. In the next few Anuchedas, the discussion between Shukadeva Goswami and Parikshit Maharaj is cited to affirm the greatness of the path of bhakti. In the beginning of the second canto, Srila Shukadeva Goswami stresses the importance of performing bhakti by hearing, glorifying, and remembering the Lord, and condemns those who are absorbed in material life without striving to revive their lost relationship with the Supreme Lord.
Yes.
So
here's
that.
Oh, here. No, just one second. You have the aspect that they're trying. It doesn't mean that they're fully absorbed or they're fully perfect in their sadhana or their practices, but they're trying. It's their intent that they want to perfect devotional service and come to the platform of pure devotion. And so then they're then engaging their secondary activities, though in this case the secondary may be very prominent, you know, both in their life, you know, in time and in their consciousness, but their ultimate intent is to actually try to, you know, develop love for Krishna. And so to that degree that is more prominent in their consciousness, whether they're there or whether it's just more occasional, then will be to that degree that they will progress like that. Yes, please.
Aniksheda 24. Thus, bhakti is the means, abhideya. This is also expressed at the beginning of the discussion between Shukadev and Parikshit. Shrota vyadhani rajendra nirinam shanti sahasrasaha apasyatam atmatatvam griheshu grihamedinam. O King, there are thousands of topics that can be heard by those who do not inquire about the goal of life. Those who are attached to the house and commit five types of violence. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.2.
Yeah, so that five types of violence, that's the just by, you know, maintaining the household, then living entities are being killed. So that means by sweeping, by running water and washing things, by grinding things, by blending things, by starting fires. These aspects, then five ways, then, or walking, you know, just the so many living entities get crushed. So this way, then that violence of that, so every householder is obliged to take care of that obligation through the worship of the demigods, the worship of the forefathers, the worship of the sages, the worship of the Brahmins, and the worship of the general living entities. And so if they don't perform that, then they are sinful. So just inherently, they are sinful. So the for the devotees, then the chanting of the holy name and the hearing of Srimad Bhagavatam, then one, to and you know, and then that proper behavior that one has in performance of the Sankirtan Yajna, then that takes care of all this debt that is there. but it's because you're doing that it takes care. It doesn't mean that you say you're a devotee, but you're not really engaged in these things nicely. Then it just means it'll be less of an effect. But the idea is the devotees don't have to worry about something else. They just have to worry about chanting and, you know, reading the five main items. They absorb themselves in that. And then on the secondary platform, they try to engage their conditioned nature as much as possible in Krishna service, either, you know, more or less directly. Yes, please.
Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In the revealed scriptures, there are two nomenclatures for the householder's life. One and the other is the grihasthas are those who live, but live transiently for realizing the ultimate truth. The grihamedis, however, are those who live only extended or centralized, and are envious of others. The word medhi indicates jealousy of others. The griha medis, being interested in family affairs only, are certainly envious of others. Therefore, one griha medhi is not on good terms with another griha medhi. And in the extended form, one community, society, or nation is not on good terms with another counterpart of selfish interest. In the age of Kali, all the householders are jealous of one another because they are blind to the knowledge of the ultimate truth. They have many subject matters for hearing, political, scientific, social, economical, and so on. But due to a poor fund of knowledge, they set aside the question of the ultimate mysteries of life, namely mysteries of birth, death, old age, and disease. Factually, the human life is meant for making an ultimate solution to birth, death, old age, and disease. But the Griha Medis, being illusioned by the material nature, forget everything about self-realization. The ultimate solution to the problems of life is to go back home, back to Godhead. And thus, as stated in Bhagavad Gita 8:16, the miseries of material existence, birth, death, the process of going back home, back to Godhead, is to hear about the Supreme Lord and his name, form, attributes, pastimes, paraphernalia, and variegatedness. Foolish people do not know this. They want to hear something about the name, form, etc. of everything temporary, and they do not know how to utilize this for the ultimate good. Misguided as they are, they also create some false literatures about the name, form, attributes, etc. of the ultimate truth. One should not, therefore, become a Griha Medhi simply to exist for envying others. One should become a real householder in terms of the scriptural injunctions. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.2.
Very interesting, that point of that Medhi also means envious. So it's either you have Krishna in the center of one's life and everything goes around Krishna as a grihastha, or you're replacing that with envy of God, so therefore envy of everyone and everything. And then you place yourself as the center, and so now so you're envious of everything else. And so then they naturally won't get along, you know, the materialists, unless there's some common point of interest. Then at that point, they might be able to get something. You know, they can work together for some time as long as that interest is being served. But as soon as that interest is not being served, then they move on. So the living entity becomes very distressed by this. You know, why aren't people real? Why aren't this? But they themselves are not real, because you can only actually be real when Krishna is the center and we identify as his servant. We try to act as him. Then only we can have a universal, you know, understanding and consciousness. Otherwise, there's no question of it, you know. So people get disturbed that others are doing, but we ourselves have to see that we're not also in the same, you know, situation like that. So, yes, please, Jagadish.
Maharaj, some time ago you mentioned, and specifically about the five depths of the householders, and you explained nicely. I just don't remember the details, and I would like to hear those, you know, how we in Krishna consciousness satisfy the sages, satisfy, you know, demigods, satisfy, you know, human, just general.
Yes, means you're, well, you're taking the forefathers because you're engaged in Krishna consciousness. And so by that, you're actually engaged for the original forefather, the Pita Maha, you know, means Krishna. So then they're naturally taken care of. The sages then, by studying the scriptures, by trying to apply that in your life and everything like that, then that's taken care of, you know, because we're studying the scriptures on the devotional platform, and that's actually the purpose of all the scriptures. So then we're going to follow the previous acharyas and all of that. So that's going to be the real for, you know, the real sages, the real forefathers like that. Then you're going to have the, forefather, the demigods. So they are simply the angas of the Lord. So by worshiping Krishna, naturally they as arms of the Lord are naturally then taken care of and satisfied. Then for the Brahmins, then we're engaged in, you know, the Vaishnav Seva and everything like that. And for the general public, then we're engaged in the Jiva Doya. So in this way, the debt is naturally paid in its natural form. It's an original form. Well, if you're not going to do that, then you have to deal with the secondary forms that are there. For us, we're interacting with secondary, but through performance of the primary. But since the materialist is not performing the primary, they only have the secondary. Therefore, then there's specific rituals for worshiping forefathers, worshiping the sages, worshiping the demigods, worshiping the Brahmins, and, you know, then how you have to, you know, take care of all the different living entities. Because you get benefit, like, I mean, it's demigods, of course, that'll be like the sun and the moon and the wind and rain and all that. But then grains are growing, you're eating those, the fruits, the flowers, you're getting benefit from all that. You know, the various living entities take care of things as all costs. Also, the subtle living entities take care of certain things around the house. And so that, then you have to do all this balidan, which is going around and there's like, I think, for 16 different places around inside and outside the house where you have to offer rice, you know, as for all these different living entities. And so then, you know, it's very technical, all these different things. That's the point, is that one will think, oh, you know, we don't have time for that. But then you have to give time for this. The time for this actually is at least equal, if not more. You know, so at least it makes you focused, it makes you pious and all that. Hopefully one day, then you'll be more inclined to be engaged in these aspects of, devotional service. You know, by association, one will take that up. But otherwise, then there's always going to be this difficulty that they get conditioned by the mode of goodness, and so then they naturally don't get interested in these things.
Yes, thank you.
Yes, okay.
So then back to the Jiva Goswami. Griheshu indicates not only householders, but all materialistic people. Atma Tattvam means knowledge of the Lord, since that will be understood from later verses. Then under Chaita 20.
That's interesting also, is that Griha Medeshu, you know, that the household life centered around envy, you know, of others, you know, and wanting to be the center of attention. So the griha is those individuals that cooperate together to each, you know, practice being the center, but at the same time acknowledge the others, you know, existence like that. And that can grow, you know, as he said, either centralized like that, or it can extend into the community or nation or everything, but only as much as people appreciate, just like we see in the political fields, as you know, people will talk about trying to work with everybody, but they only work with everybody in as much as those that everybody is favorable to their position. You know, if it's not favorable to their position, they don't count them as that everybody. Yes. Jagadishti.
Yes, I was also contemplating on that concept, how clever. I mean, in Soviet Union, when I was born, the God isn't even there. The God didn't exist there, and, you know, that was all nonsense. So from God being in the center, they made, you know, egocentric society. But even in that, not the person was in the center, but the society was in the center. And I don't know what happened in America, but I heard similar kind of ideas that it's not the society for man, but it's the man for the society. So that was the catch, and it sounded good. But what happened is that God was taken out of the picture. Then they turned it upside down. Instead of society being for the man, they put man for the society. Yes. But in the Vedic culture, what we see is God being in the center, then every individual worships God, and then society for the person. So this is natural, but now it's twice upside down.
Yes, yes, yes. They've removed, you know, anything, any salient feature. So that point is because if it's about the people, then you have to consider the individual people, their situations, what they're going through, what they require, and everything, and then you can apply it. But what will happen if you reverse it, so it's about the state and not about the individuals, then you make it that its state is more important. So whatever is good for the state, even if it's bad for the people, it's still, you have an excuse because you're doing the higher thing of the state, and the state is for the people, of course. But in actuality, we see that the state's not actually necessarily acting for the people. The state is acting for itself. So that's why then you can see, you know, it's before for the state, then, you know, 50 million people could die for the state. You know, and that was just internal. We're not even talking about, you know, World War II or this or that, or, you know, that. We're talking that, you know, this is just what the state is willing to sacrifice of its own citizens, you know. And so that's a lot, you know. It sounds like it's about 1/3 of the citizens, you know. So, yes, please.
It's actually interesting that since that policy of Joseph and the Second World War, Russia is still, you know, I don't know how to say it in English, but the, you know, the people that they lost during that period, they didn't recover yet from that time.
Really?
It's a known fact, yeah.
Wow.
And the populace of the state is going still down.
Yeah. Well, now the modern thing is who wants to have kids, you know?
Yeah.
So then naturally there's less and less. Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah.
They didn't recover. Yeah.
It's 70 million people just gone in that period, like in 20 years.
Yeah. Oh, I see. 20 million from the war then.
Yeah. Well, but that's the official information. I'm not sure how many.
Actually, yeah. Yeah, so it's where you make it about the state, then it makes that those individuals who are more equal than the other individuals, then it makes it about them as the center. And then it becomes how they themselves can gain what they want to gain, you know, at the expense of the public. And so they do what they think, and because it does have that sentiment of trying to do something for the public. But in actuality, if it doesn't benefit them and benefit the state, they're not going to do it. So that becomes the difference. While in the Vedic, you have the balance. The state has obligations to the individual. The individual has obligations to the state. So both are there. So each has to be performing their duties. And so it's already designated what that is. And so then it can work on very nicely. So the leadership is worrying about the populace. and the populace is you know, following their duties. So it works out in a very nice, balanced way. Well, previously then, while all these other systems, these impersonal, well, people go into these bureaucratic, it's great for those who are running the thing. You know, they get taken care of, even if they do anything valuable or not for the, the state or the community or the society. You know, they may be doing absolutely nothing for benefit, but they still get taken care of, and they can demand that, and they can use their authority to, maintain it or even improve it. So it's not about the individuals. It's not about that. It's about making the state look good. The state has authority, the state, so you can just see as soon as you go in that kind of leftist direction, then you lose the individuality. And the fun part is they're the ones that always talk about the individuality. You know? They're the ones that always talk about the individual and equality. And their system is the one that can least afford it, least of deliver. You know, it's actually, militates against the concept, but it sounds good. So it's just the way the modes work. Well, then you go to the right, then it's about the individual, but then you may lose the state, And so only the Vedic system can actually have both, because they lose the state. It makes it about themselves instead of about the greater public. It makes it about the smaller group of public. But, they let everybody do their own thing. And that way, because everyone's doing their own thing and you have no obligation to protect them, then you can take advantage, exploit, and make your money. So that's how the capitalism will flourish. But in any case, so as long as then the ones who are administering this socialist state, then they, as long as they have a handle on the economy, on the capitalism, then they will get benefit. So depending on how smart they are, they'll allow the capitalists to get some benefit also, so that they, are comfortable to a car. And so then you expand a little bit, who's getting the benefits. And the common person then feels that he's got the freedoms, but he doesn't have necessarily the facilities. Well, on the other one, you talk about you have the facilities, but you don't have the freedoms, So it's a problem. Then when you just bring it up to the top, then the top takes everything, but that will not also maintain, because if the government just takes everything and doesn't actually support the economic and the personal growth of the individuals, at some point it'll collapse because no one will be inspired. And so that also, we see that kind of disappeared a bit back, in history, not long back. And if you take it as just intellectuals and them sitting around, then you never know what will go on there, because they expect everyone to be able to work off these higher principles, though they can't, so that there's no governance of that, and then everybody goes crazy and it falls apart. So then, these are difficulties that come up from these, foolish things. So in the Vedic system, you have all these balanced. You address all these things, but at the same time as addressing them, you don't lose either the individuality or the state or the communities or the progressive march by the individuals and the whole society back to God. Is that all right? Charoji, are you back to read?
Bhakti is explained. The Lord, who is best, most beautiful, most of suffering, he heard about, God, and was desiring for him. Bhagavad 2:1-5. Srila Prabhupada. One should not do anything bad on account, but do everything on behalf of support the ultimate purpose of everything that he needs. This process.
I have it that Charuchandra left. Is he with you guys still, or he's also gone from your?
No, no. I think the Mayapur internet is very low because of the pilgrims.
Ah, so everybody's taking advantage.
And we experience some difficulties. Yeah. It's just the line supports so many users.
Okay. So this will be a bit of a problem till after New Year's then.
Yeah, seems like. I don't know. I don't see anybody. I'm the only one who has the picture now.
Okay. Yeah, my picture's gone also.
But your picture's gone, but at least I can hear you clearly.
Yeah. No, we hear you also. Yes. Yeah, so then he made, I kind of caught the point that it's about worshiping Krishna, who's the most wonderful person and who's the proprietor of everything. And this is actually the purpose of life. Anything else is actually not using human life appropriately or properly, because that's all it's for. Because the material world's meant for living entities to be in the human form of life and from that position to worship Krishna, to keep Krishna as the center. That's what it's for. But unfortunately, because the living entity doesn't do that, then they end up in a compromised position where then they end up in lower forms of life or unfortunate situations in which they naturally don't have either the samskaras or the inclination or the association to advance nicely in Krishna consciousness, or even to even note that it's there. So that's an unfortunate situation, but it's being mentioned here that the actual point is to, you know, hear, chant, and remember about the Supreme Lord and worship Him and keep Him as the center of everything. So all one's actions, actions of the body, of mind, and words should be centered around and directed towards Krishna in a favorable way for His satisfaction, you know, devoid of any interest on our own for our own particular benefits. Yes? Okay, so maybe, how are we doing here? So maybe you want to read?
Jagadish?
Yeah, because I'm just saying it's only you and me that seems that the sound is working nicely.
One second, I have to see where's the material, because I wasn't following.
Oh, okay, if you don't have, okay.
No, I do have. I do have, but I have to know what page are we right now. I do have the material.
I don't know. Last I know, you're around 47, but I think we've gone past that.
Yeah.
We're a couple of pages past that, I think, or one or, you know, something, I don't know.
He mentioned in the beginning that
there was the word.
Haladhar Prabhu, can you hear us? No, he also left. Oh no, he is here.
You can, yes, oh, you can hear me now.
What is the page that
you just now
what
we can hear?
Okay, 54. Yeah, I came downstairs to get closer to the hub, but for some reason I unmuted myself and nobody. But it's 54. I don't know where I cut off at. I think it
just
was around where
the verse,
the beginning of the Anucheda.
Just that.
Yeah.
Oh, so you didn't even get
no. So now, okay. Yeah. But you please continue. Then there, Jagadish is there as a backup.
Okay. So
if we hear you, and if we don't hear you, then we'll.
Okay. Udriti, Prabhupada. Should not do anything, either good or bad, on his own accord or on his own account. But one must execute everything on behalf of the Supreme Lord, the ultimate proprietor of everything that be. This process of doing work is recommended in the Bhagavad Gita 9:27 also, where instruction is given for working on the Lord's account. Therefore, one should first of all hear about the Lord. When one has perfectly and scrutinizingly heard, one must glorify his acts and deeds, and thus it will become possible to remember constantly the transcendental nature of the Lord. Hearing about and glorifying the Lord are identical with the transcendental nature of the Lord. And by so doing, one will always be in association of the Lord. This brings freedom from all sorts of fear. The Lord is the Supersoul, Paramatma, present in the hearts of all living beings. And thus, by the above hearing and glorifying process, the Lord invites the association of all his creation. This process of hearing about and glorifying the Lord is applicable for everyone, whoever he may be, and it will lead one to the ultimate success in everything which one may be engaged by providence. The fruits of workers, the empiric philosophers, the mystic yogis, and ultimately the unalloyed devotees. For all of them, one and the same process is applicable for achieving the desired success. Everyone wants to be free from all kinds of fear, and everyone wants the fullest extent of happiness in life. The perfect process for achieving this here and now is recommended in the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is uttered by such a great authority as Srila Shukadeva Goswami. By hearing about and glorifying the Lord, all a person's activities become molded into spiritual activities, and thus all conceptions of material miseries become completely vanquished. Srimad Bhagavatam 2.1.5 purport.
Yes, so we say it's interesting is that, you know, he said here and now, right? Because that was a big, you know, the philosophy in the 60s, be here now. So, you know, or be in the now, all these kind of things like that. So it's interesting is that all these different varieties of persons who are trying different ways to advance themselves, you know, for different purposes, the actual process to uplift all of them is exactly the same. To hear and chant and glorify the, you know, the Lord in the association of devotees. And everyone then will progress on the devotional path and whatever it is that they're doing, whatever secondary religious principles they're following, those will also then be very nicely taken care of. So one doesn't have to separately act in that way. You know, it doesn't one doesn't have to separately try to do any other process. So just by adding Krishna consciousness as the primary feature, everything else becomes dovetailed into that, because then it's very easy. What do you do? What's good for Krishna consciousness? What's good for pleasing Krishna? What don't you do? What's not? And so this way, then you can judge what to do, what not to do. You don't have to look at it any other way, because if Krishna is pleased, then naturally everything else will work very nicely. So we don't have to separately try to engage ourselves. Yes, Jagadish Prabhu.
Some devotees, when we read that, and it's often in Srila Prabhupada's purpose, some devotees have doubts because they don't see practical or they don't experience it themselves. They say, okay, I invest into devotional practices, and in that way, I'm quite developed or whatever it is. At least we see certain progress. But in terms of, if we're talking about karma and jnana, it's not necessarily in terms of, you know, knowledge, we're not advancing as much. I mean, we have basic things. And in terms of karma, you know, it is there, what's there. It's like nothing new. It's not that, you know, all the devotees become, you know, successful in life and you know, getting some money, social position and stuff. Can you elaborate, please?
The point is that what is the purpose of karma? What's the purpose of jnana? It's to perform devotional service and come to Krishna. So how can they say that it's not happening? Because the performance of karma its only goal is to actually take up devotional service. The actual point of jnana is to take up devotion, to know the Lord and take up devotional service. So that's what it's for. That's the purpose. They're taking it, the purpose is karma is to make money, but then that's going to be according to their consciousness. Because if they're performing the devotional activities and they still doubt the efficacy of it, does that mean that they're very developed? You know, what would you say about a businessman who's doing business, but he has doubts about business? He doesn't really think the business is going to really do anything. How much will he be committed? How good will be his endeavor? How much results will he get? You know, so therefore, it's just that that's a practical thing. They're talking money, but if you just half-heartedly just do something because you say like that, then how, and then you, what kind of result are you going to get? One, it's not very good. And so, therefore, if they're applying themselves in Krishna consciousness, but with that doubts on, you know, am I going to become rich and famous, then, you know, how much are they actually committed to Krishna? So then it's not, they're not endeavoring for pure devotional service. So therefore, the result will be less. I mean, you know, and it's not necessarily that what they're doing, you're going to see immediate results. I mean, so yeah, what is the ages of these billionaires? Right? Are there any kids? Right? They're all old fogies, you know, all 60, 50, 60, you know, like that, you know? So it's like, you know, what do you want? You know, and they've been working at it since they were kids. So how long have you been seriously trying to get money? I mean, like serious money. You know, you've always wanted money, but when have you put in the actual effort? You know, so that's the thing, is they're willing to put in 10, 12, you know, 16 hours a day to make their money. So you're willing to put in that for Krishna consciousness, then you're going to get the same kind of results as, you know, be those Krishna conscious results. Because the point is, if you have Krishna consciousness, do you care about anything else? You know, so that's the whole thing, is that we have to understand is that devotional service is what is satisfying. Other things aren't. Just like, let's say, you know, good friends give some really fabulous gift and all this and that. You know, it may be nice, it may not, depending upon the relationship, but it's not guaranteed, you know. But at the same time, let's say you have a small child that you know, makes some nice crayon drawing and that and very happily gives that to you. That's worth more than, you know, so many of the other things. So we have to see, it's that mood that you put in. That's what's important to Krishna, not that you've just done the form of it. So that you're doing the form and everything like that, that's excellent. So all you have to do is adjust the mentality that it's definitely about Krishna. And then you'll see things move very, very nicely. And whether they come, whether you get material results or not, that's up to Krishna. It's up to Krishna anyway, even if you work in karma. Otherwise, if it was just a matter of desire, then the karma is, why aren't they all rich? You know, if you say, well, I came to Krishna consciousness to become rich, but I mean, are you starving? Is there any problem? No, and is any rich man as rich as he'd like to be? You know what I'm saying? You know, the song is sung about how if I was a rich man, but the guy's poor, right? So the point is, if he was rich, then he'd be singing about something that's, you know, being more rich. You know, I mentioned to you that some time ago saw this thing where it was they were saying the difference between the multimillionaire's yacht and the billionaire's yacht, right? So they're showing a picture of this monster yacht. They're saying this is the, you know, the multimillionaire's yacht, huge boat, you know. I mean, you know, like 150 feet long, you know, I mean, it's huge, like 200, I mean, really big, you know, very tall, this, that, so many things on it. And they're going from the end of the boat, you know, one end of the boat to the other, just showing the boat. And you're seeing the whole boat. Then they go, okay, and now I'll show you the billionaire's boat. And they keep the camera, they just keep panning it at the same level. And when it gets to the billionaire's boat, you can't even see the whole boat, you know, height. So it was the top of the other guy's boat isn't even up to the you know, the level of the you know, the deck on the billionaire's boat. You know, the billionaire's boat's like twice as tall, twice as long, twice as wide, you know, like that, you know, just ridiculous, you know. So that's the thing. And then you have other guys that are rich and have a little yacht, you know, they have a 50-foot yacht or a 70-foot yacht, and then someone else has a, you know, 30, 40-foot yacht, and then someone else has a 20-foot boat, and someone else has a little, you know, I mean, it just keeps, you know, like that, you know. So it's like that. And then you have the kid in the pool with the blown-up inner tube, right? You know, so the point is you have something, and you can say is, oh, but I don't have so much. It says, yes, but you'll never have how much you want on the material platform. It's impossible. There is absolutely no way to satisfy anyone materially on the platform. Like, you look at Pradapati Daksha, right? Daksha is the son of Brahma. And, you know, he would be considered your, you know, topmost karmakandiya in the universe. And he's, you know, respected and this and that. It's still not enough for him. He still has to harass his son-in-law, harass his daughter for his own prestige. You know, so except for being Brahma, and even Brahma, he has to test it, you know. Oh, on Krishna, who is this guy, you know? Says he's God, but, you know, he's sitting there with his, you know, with his cowherd boyfriends and taking care of cows. And let me test this guy. So even your Brahma, you're still not satisfied. So there's no question of satisfaction. So the thing is if they really look at it, are they simply as what they were before? Krishna's taking care. And the point is, if they gave them more, would all these people still stay in Krishna consciousness? Not necessarily, you know? So that's the whole thing, is that Sura means one who turns to the Lord when there's difficulties. Demon means one who, when there's difficulties, it makes just a new plan. So the whole thing is, can you guarantee if you had more, you'd be a devotee? Or a serious devotee? You know, we're not a serious devotee now. We don't have so much, and we're doubting Krishna because we're not getting the material results we expect of one. So that's you know, just shows this difficulty. Is that that's exactly why you don't necessarily have more, because you wouldn't be able to use it properly. You know, how much you have now, you doubt and don't use it properly, let alone if you had more. So it's, you know, why would devotional service and all that, all these great personalities are doing. And so, you know, from the richest to the poorest, and they all have the same point. And so the real value is only that service to the Lord. That's the real satisfaction for the soul. It means for your conditioned nature, yes, you can have more of this and that, but does your conditioned nature qualify for more? You know, like that. You know, look at your own qualifications. Why just look at the qualifications of bhakti? Look at our own qualifications. Are we qualified? Are we pious enough? Does that make sense? And don't worry, if you maintain this mentality, then yeah, at the end of life, you go to the heavenly planets, and then you'll see all the material benefits that you got from devotional service.
Raj, may I ask you a question?
Yes, please.
May it be a private question. I mean, I can't understand one thing in my consciousness and in my life. When I became devotee many years ago, I was born in a poor family. But when I became devotee, my family quickly became very. One day, followed to the Ekadashi Vrata, I wanted to give results of Ekadashi to my father because I want to make him devotee also. But next day after the Ekadashi, he was chosen to be a magister of big area in Kazakhstan, and he became one of most influential person in our state. And I thought at the time that I was very impressed. I thought it's a result of devotional service that our karma changed. But then I started to see, to observe life of other devotees, and I saw that usually it's not, same conditions are still in their life. And I want to, understand, what is just coincidence of karma, or Krishna really can change some conditions in life of devotees for proving him some things.
Yeah, but the point is that you had faith in the process, and you see it works. Others who are making these comments, then they appears they don't have faith in the process so much. They're giving it a try, they're testing it out, but it's not that they're fully committed to that faith. You know? Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm. But Guru Maharaj, if I wanted to make my father a devotee, but he still didn't, he's not a devotee now, he's just a proud of his influence person. Does it mean that with such consciousness as my consciousness, I can just go to the heavenly planets because only material things happen, but not...
Krishna. No, it seems that when non-devotees are doing, when those who haven't come to the platform of faith perform any devotional service or get any devotional benefits, it's called a jnata sukriti. Right? So it's developing that devotional sukriti, but it hasn't come to the point of faith. At the same time, as you can see the power of it, when you convert it onto the material platform, it gets very big results. So then, you know, following a codicy is, you know, can make one into, you know, a minister, this and that. So, you know, these kind of different things. So we have to understand the power of devotional service is there, but at the same time as taking up devotional service is something that the individual themselves has to make that commitment. They have to make that decision. It is by association, it is by that jnata sukriti, but it just means his hasn't come to that point yet. So just with time, but you know, then gradually it will come there. You know, if it comes this life, nice, and if not, then in a future life. But all these devotional benefits are still remain. Does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so you don't have to worry. It's just you can see the power of devotional service that, you know, just, you know, something that we would consider as simple as the codicy that has such a dynamic effect. At the same time, as one has to understand, is that if devotional service can do that, then what it can do if you were actually interested in devotional service, how far it could take you, how deep could you go, you know? So that's the whole point, is that that's the choice of the living entity. Does he want to go deeper, or does he want to just be, you know, get the material benefits? Does that make sense? So don't worry, you know, like that. And you have to see is Krishna is going to arrange what's ever good for them. You know, so then being like this, as long as they deal nicely with you and all that, the family, then, you know, it'll continue. So you just have to see what's going to be favorable for them.
Thank you, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Jagadish Ji is good? Okay. Okay. So
when you were talking about the millionaire's boat and the billionaire's boat, I thought you were going to say after they showed the millionaire's boat, they started zooming out. And you realize that the millionaire's boat is floating in the swimming pool of the billionaire's boat.
Or you see it hanging on the back of the boat for if there's any problem, they get off onto that, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one they take into town, you know?
Yeah. They park the other one out farther in the ocean and take that one into port, yeah.
Their dinghy.
Yeah, it's their dinghy, yeah. Just in case.
Okay, so back to Srila Jiva Goswami. Now he's going to quote Srila Sridhar Swami's commentary. The commentary says, quote, "The Lord is addressed as Sarvatma, which means the best. Bhagavan indicates his beauty. Ishvara indicates that he is necessary for everything. Harihi indicates that he removes bondage. Abhayam Ichita means by persons desiring liberation. Liberation means attaining the Lord while becoming free of all suffering. End quote.
Interesting. So he says the liberation is attaining the Lord, and that attaining the Lord, you're naturally free from all material suffering. So it's not the liberation's not the goal. Attaining the Lord, serving the Lord, that's the goal, to be his eternal servant. That's the goal. And this comes as a side thing. You know, is that, you know, it's just like when you order a dish in the restaurant, you know, the plate comes along with it, you know. So it's you don't have to separately claim. So nowadays you see people are hoping to get, you know, a bowl or something, but there's nothing in the bowl. Well, the devotee just is aspiring for what's in the bowl comes with the preparation. Yes, good. No.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. So then maybe the next.
Yeah, that's the end of that anucheda. And then this is the vritti. Having described the importance of the process, hearing, glorifying, and remembering the Supreme Lord, Shukadev Goswami rejects other forms of meditation which are not directed to the personal form of the Lord. Anucheda 26. After describing meditation on the universal form in the same chapter, bhakti is then recommended while rejecting other forms of meditations. Quote from Srimad Bhagavatam 2.139, one should concentrate his mind upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who alone distributes himself in so many manifestations, just as ordinary persons create thousands of manifestations in dreams. One must concentrate the mind on him, the only all-blissful absolute truth. Otherwise, one will be misled and will cause his own degradation. End quote.
Yes, so the this aspect is that he's talked about the meditation on the universal form, because that will let you see how the Lord is in the creation, but it's not actually the best of the meditations. The meditation is that Krishna, it's through his unlimited potencies is expanded, and is therefore all these things are connected with him, either more in his, you know, from the Bhagavan, the Paramatma, the Brahman platform, and then on ones that you can, you know, equate with him that have more of the pious aspects, but even all the impious and all the various species of life and all that, then those are still also the potency of the Lord, because they're functioning. They can do something, you know, kind of like that. They can, you know, like birds can fly, even though they're in ignorance, but that flying potency, that's Krishna. And so there's still, it's all Krishna that's going on, but you see it connected with the person rather than taking the nature here, seeing it, okay, within that it's quality, it's great, and so then give that to God. So as a beginning stage, what can be there, but it's not considered that's the actual point that you're trying to get to. You're trying to get to the point is where you see it all connected to Krishna. Krishna's the, you know, the reservoir of all pleasure. He's the reservoir of all qualities. He is all existence. Yeah.
Okay, then Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. In this verse, the process of devotional service is indicated by the great Goswami Srila Shukadev. He tries to impress upon us that instead of diverting our attention to several branches of self-realization, we should concentrate upon the Supreme Personality of Godhead as the supreme object of realization, worship, and devotion. Self-realization.
Realization, worship, and devotion. So realization will be the sat, worship will be the chit, and devotion will be the ananda. Okay, please continue. Hello? It appears Charuji has
How about now?
Ah, you're back.
Am I? This is so weird. Okay. Self-realization is, as it were, offering a fight for eternal life against the material struggle for existence. And therefore, by the illusory grace of the external energy, the yogi or devotee is faced with many allurements, which can entangle a great fighter again in the bondage of material existence. A yogi can attain miraculous success in material achievements, such as anima and laghima, by which one can become more minute than the minutest, or lighter than the lightest. Or, in the ordinary sense, one may achieve material benedictions in the shape of wealth and women. But one is warned against such allurements because entanglement again in such illusory pleasure means degradation of the self and further imprisonment in the material world. By this warning, one should follow one's vigilant intelligence only.
Yes. So we see here is that the spiritual life is to get you out of material existence. So that's the whole point, is that what's the difference between matter and spirit? You know, you have the Brahman, the supreme Brahman. What's our relationship, the material nature? How, you know, what's our relationship so that we act in such a way that we don't bind ourselves to this world, but we take ourselves out of this world, right? So that's the spiritual side of it that's being mentioned here, and Prabhupada's giving so many details. Then we see the next is going to be the worship that is going to be done on that aspect will be there. That worship will be there. And so that worship, that's going to take up, that's going to be in the place of the Abhideya. And so now that's going to the chit principle. So now that knowledge is being used to worship the Lord. But we see is that that's not still not complete, because that takes us up to the Paramatma level, or, you know, Krishna is God and like that. And so we worship him because of that principle. But then the actual thing is the devotion to him as the person, as Bhagavan, that affection for him, that actually brings about ananda. The other ones then we see is that they're interested in yogic siddhi, some karmic results or some liberation, but it doesn't actually carry true devotion. So when it's actually got pure devotion, then it actually brings about ananda because of the relationship with Bhagavan. That sweetness aspect comes out, that personal aspect comes out. Otherwise, then, as long as you keep it in the first two, then it can have that more of an impersonal aspect. So they take it impersonal as, oh, it's all this spiritual, it's so impersonal. But we see these other methods that people use about the family, extended family, the community, and also all these, you know, socialistic philosophies and all that. It's also impersonal because ultimately it's just about yourself, and everybody else is only important as much as they support. That benefit for yourself. So only when you see all three, the spiritual life is therefore so you can take up devotional service so that you can actually express that devotion, you know, in you know, to Krishna like that. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Okay. So now we're at 8:30, so we should end here. Jai Ho, thank you. Om Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.